Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
All right, welcome aboard, everybody. It's Sunday, and that means it's time for Fed Up Frank. Fed Up Frank is brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. And, you know, that little ballad there by Johnny Cash really does exemplify the diversity that we have in this great country. And it's a shame that that diversity is what's being used to tear us apart. And I guess everyone takes up sides at some point in time or another. Our hope is that we will remain a beacon to others, including our fellow Americans, to the idea of freedom and individual responsibility at a time when so many are dismissing the idea of personal responsibility and personal rights in exchange for the idea of collective rights and no responsibility, or it's always the other guy's responsibility and never their own. You would think that having entered into an experiment in social welfare, social justice, whereby the government provides for those who either cannot or will not, you would think that having endeavored in this great society, New Deal, for 80 plus years, those who are the beneficiaries would be getting nervous and realizing that the end is approaching. There is a time fast approaching when the government won't be able to give as much as it does now. We would look at our national debt standing at $16 trillion and unfunded liabilities, that is, those very entitlement programs, eclipsing $200 trillion. And realize that the old saying is coming true. You know, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. And what we're seeing, not only in the United States, but around the world, is we're running out of other people's money. And the effects, both here at home and abroad, are going to be very, very bad. Some people will actually roll up their sleeves and get work, while others will moan and wail and wonder why, oh why, and what happened to my gravy train, where did it go? I hope that you won't be one of those trying to figure out where the gravy train went and whether or not it's coming back to your neighborhood anytime soon. And yes, Miss Linda, you make a perfect choice, or a perfect a perfect comment. It's not about choice. The fact that some people argue that they're pro-choice is a red herring. When they say that they're pro-choice, what they mean is they want the choice to pick and choose what rights you have based on their own vision of morality or whatever they're trying to apply at the moment. My rights are not negotiable. They're not open for discussion, and they're certainly not open to someone else's choice any more than they are my choice. I didn't choose them. I have them as a consequence of being a human being. They want to force their choice on everyone else and proclaim it as a right. But as we've discussed in the past, force is not a right. Now, we can use force when force is used against us. That's called self-defense. You know, the whole idea of equal force is kind of bogus. It goes into perhaps the just war theory, but only just. You know, quite honestly, if we would practice a just war theory, we would not be in the Middle East right now. We would be bemoaning how terrible it is in Syria, maybe. Syria might not be happening if the United States hadn't been involved in the Middle East, or perhaps there's something else going on over in Syria. Maybe we just don't know the whole story. And I do apologize for my show this evening. I have been diligently working my tail end off today, and I am pretty well wiped out. And I see we have Miss Linda calling in to rescue me. Miss Linda, hey. How are you?
Fine, sir. How's it going? I know you're exhausted.
I think
we all are. I haven't done as much as you have, but I've been doing errands, and then I did get to go to the beach yesterday, but I wore myself out doing boogie boarding. And then the week before, I was doing a lot of campaigning here locally, and so it takes a toll on you after a while. But, I have to turn off 37. They just make me sick. This one guy, I think his name is Chris Wallace, the old guy that's kind of, you know, mush-faced. And he was interviewing Mia Love from whatever, I think she's in Florida, a mayor of one little town. And the problem is she missed a great opportunity. He's talking about this war on women, supposed by the Republicans, and they're talking about this pro-choice and non-choice and the, you know, pro-life and all this stuff. And I think she said pro-choice, but I can't. Oh, she said pro-life, but she missed the opportunity to explain that this is not what the argument should be about. These people who are screaming want others to pay for all of this. Everybody, every single item, whether it's a hangnail or a bent nose hair, they want us to pay for it. From education to cradle to grave, it's ridiculous. Why can't somebody speak the truth? I don't understand. He gave her a beautiful opportunity, and she blew it.
And they fall into this trap, you know, and it's the whole thing of, oh, it's my body, it's my right to choose. And you know what? I agree. It is your body, and you're fully within your rights to choose to murder your unborn child. And I think society is fully within their rights to say, hey, we don't think you're a decent member of society, and get the hell out. You know, that's a collective ideology.
Of course.
It's their own their own ideology.
I get so angry at these people who are, you know, kind of new to the scene, and then there's the same old coneheads who have been around Methuselah, like John McShane, and they say the same things. I'm like, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. They're drinking the same stupid Kool-Aid. I'm about ready to have my head explode.
But it's horrible to see the double standard, and it's horrible to see it on either side, whether it's Democrat or Republican. We've had that conversation before. You know, the Republicans, the quote-unquote conservatives, the ones that want to fit in with the Bible crowd, don't.
Right.
They're full of BS. They give it lip service at best. A vast majority of them. Those that don't, profess a belief in God, that doesn't mean that they don't follow a moral standard,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. But none of them are honest. And the moral standard is subject to change. With conditions, it all depends on how I feel at that moment in time.
Yeah, it's like I'm reading in the book now is talking about planning and the rule of law. Well, if you don't have, you know, some semblance of rule of law that everyone's going to follow the same, you have chaos, and then it devolves slowly and whatever to anarchy, which is what's happening to our country. And this divisiveness is happening from both sides. Like I say, they're not having the right argument. And this right-left paradigm is just, it's killing me. People don't recognize it for what it is, you know?
Well, I think I could make the argument that the rule of law is nothing but organized chaos. And
I think we're seeing
the proof of that right now.
Well, these people, like the derelict withholding information holder and this Chicago regime that's running things now, they pick and choose what they want to go by. They're not following the Constitution or any semblance thereof. It drives me crazy. And neither are the people on the right. That guy would have been impeached 2 years ago.
I mean, there's no way, you know, you're right. None of them have followed the Constitution. Even many of the founders Even Thomas Jefferson, we could argue, you know, with the Louisiana Purchase, that was a use of taxpayer funds that I guess we could make a constitutional argument that it wasn't constitutional.
Yeah, and it's really sad. The people that I run into that talk about they like freedom, but what's happening is they're so cloistered. They're buying into this socialist collectivism ideology and the Fabian socialist ideas that, everything's okay as long as you do what I say and, you know, think the way I think. And, you know, that's your choice.
and I have to admit that that's something that I'm relatively ignorant on is the Fabian socialists. That's something that Richard mentioned the other night when he called in. But I think if we look at I know that I don't need to know a lot about Fabian socialists to know that they're socialists.
Right.
And to know that they have a somewhat general ideology that goes along with the socialism movement.
It's very close to fascist thinking is what, you know, this is an authoritarian, you know, top-down, iron-fisted rule like Mussolini did. I mean, and Hitler modeled himself after Mussolini because, you know, he hated the Bolsheviks and Stalin. And of course, everybody finally figured it out later after they made him chancellor. He hated Jews. It took him 5 years to start proving it, you know, but by then it was too late.
Yep.
So, I mean, people just, I don't know why, they won't wake up, they don't read, they're lazy, you're right. But I'm trying to get them one at a time.
I'm trying to understand in today's terms, what's the big argument with the Jews? Why was there an Adolf Hitler? Why did Hitler hate the Jews so much? For what reason? It had to be more than just they're Jewish, you know?
I don't know. There are people who hate blacks, and the article that you sent me from Mrs. Daly about the Native American Indians or Canadian Indians, that they really do see them as inferior, completely inferior, like subhuman. That's the only...
You had it right. They were Native American Indians because they're part of the North American continent. But
right.
No, you're exactly right, and that's why I was asking the question. Why do people hate one another simply based on appearance, you know, skin color? I don't think that it's really that base. I don't think that it's truly that... what's the word I'm looking for? That basic and fundamental,
right.
That it's simply, you know, oh, the guy's black, so I don't like him, or the guy's, oh, he's clearly Jewish, so yeah, I hate that guy, or, you know, he's clearly Asian, so I hate him. I think it may stem more into perhaps bad personal experience with someone of a different race.
It could be that too.
Painting them all with a broad brush at that point.
One of the probably the coolest and profoundest things my dad used to teach me was that ignorance breeds prejudice. And this could stem from a lot of that. Now there's some people who are just hateful. And
sure.
But when you look at history and you look at what Hitler started with, who did he start with first? The infirm, the mentally retarded, the not so perfect. This man was seriously trying to get an Aryan perfect society. This is a philosopher king at its worst. I mean, if you want to go down that road, because that's what it looks like to me, that he was just adamant about, you know, purging anything that he didn't like.
Sure. I would agree with that, and I don't think that Hitler hated the Jews. I don't think he hated Jewish people at all. I think he saw them, just as you were saying, as less than human.
And it's weird. And did he use them as a scapegoat to get his way and be completely off the rails? I mean,
I think that he actually, honestly, in his mind, thought he was doing them a favor.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah.
He thought he was sending them home to their God.
That's pretty sick.
He did make that statement. Now, whether or not he meant that facetiously or, you know, if he was just poking fun at the Jews, I don't know. But, you know, these people are so twisted in their mental processes that I don't close the door on any possibility.
Yeah, it's true. Now, what I do know about the Fabian socialist ideology is that they very much favor eugenics. And so that is one of their driving forces, if you will.
Oh, well, then
so
they just have to love Hitler.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what you need to know about that group. I know that Hildebeest Clinton, her sinus, believes in it. She's right up there with, I believe, Bill Gates and George Bernard Shaw on those tenets.
Well,
so they're not good things.
I think that's an interesting, I think this is an interesting avenue for us to explore, because if it's true that the Fabian socialists favor eugenics, and it's true that, you know, Miss Hillary Clinton and many others fall under the ideology of that eugenics model, then we also have to begin to ask ourselves, why is it that all these people are so pro-choice? They want to be able to kill unborn children, and if we look at the largest number ethnically of unborn babies that are killed in this country every year, it is overwhelmingly blacks.
Yeah, that's definitely a big problem in everybody's book that has any empathy and that aren't sociopaths. I don't understand how, well, I do understand, but how these people are not aware of this, because they've been lied to like the rest of us for so long, and they don't do their own homework to find out the truth of history and where Planned Parenthood came from. It came right out of that whole eugenics thing.
Correct. So my question is, why aren't we, as conservatives, and I use that in the definition of the first meaning of the original, conserving the original concept and principles of the United States of America, why aren't we calling these people out in public when they spout this crap about being pro-choice and say, oh, so you're in favor of murdering black infants before they're born in vast numbers? Isn't that
vast
called
numbers.
Genocide when other countries do that? Don't we call that genocide and Russia
sure
save them?
Yeah, you know, maybe we should start making signs like that. I'm sure I'll be arrested if I do, but
just because they waited for them to be born in Somalia and Rwanda and other places, that doesn't change the fact that they were targeting a specific ethnic group of people, does it?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just this targeting of anybody. I mean, my God, we're humans. I don't care. And why do they have to put everybody into groups? Good grief. It's an age-old problem. I'm sick of it.
Oh, I know. And I think that's partly human nature. I mean, whether we like to admit it or not, we do tend to hang out with people that are like us.
Right, that's true. However, can we not, you know, learn from our mistakes and at least try to be better people and not be so judgmental and so hypocritical and rotten to one another? I mean, isn't that what Christ taught us?
Well, I think that is what Christ taught, but apparently we are incapable of learning from our past mistakes or from those that came before us.
But as individuals, we can at least strive towards that and maybe show by example. You know,
well,
maybe it'll rub off on other people.
There you go. You know, I think that, I don't know who coined the phrase, but we should lead by the power of our example, not the example of our power.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really what Ron Paul was saying, and why everyone gets their proverbial panties in a wad. when I mention Ron Paul, and they say, oh, that guy's crazy, his foreign policy's insane. Well, how do you know it's insane? We've never tried it.
Yep.
How do you know it won't work? Because clearly what we've been doing has not kept us out of peril, and in my humble opinion, has made matters worse. It's escalated the problem around the world. It hasn't quieted the problem.
Yeah, the wars. I think Eisenhower warned us of the military-industrial complex a long time ago, but we didn't listen. Do you think that the October surprise will be World War III with Iran?
You know, God only knows. It's certainly trying to lean that way, but then again, we just saw the other day the ECB has announced that they're going to be buying bonds from the various member states. So Germany's off the hook. If the people of Germany had any common sense remaining in them, they would urge Merkel and their parliament immediately to withdraw from the EU while they can.
Right. Yeah, well, what I'm seeing is whatever they did the other day in the euro zone was they're kind of like their own QE3. They're propping everything up, and they're staving it off. But it's coming. They can't do it forever. And all the people who have talked about it, that one email you sent me, there was an audio tape about the coming, you know, financial meltdown that they predicted in sometime December of 2013. So I don't know if we can even last that long, but we'll see. Stupid idiot.
Yeah, you know, I am amazed daily. I am absolutely amazed that we have not had a collapse in the monetary system worldwide. I really am. They're shuffling and they're, you know, they're trying very hard. Every country, you know, China, India, Russia, they're all scrambling. And I think they're scrambling because they know the writing is on the wall. So it's simply a matter of, you know, what do we do? How do we stave this off so that we lessen the impact? And, one of those ways is going to be to dump the dollar. And they're doing that in droves.
It's funny, I was watching a video that was put forth by somebody on Facebook, one of our Kylie or Kevin Grady, one of them, about the, it was a old clip of Milton Friedman, and they had asked him, you know, what percentage of GDP is, what's the magic number when it's the tipping point? And he says, there's really no number. It depends on the circumstances in the country. It just, once it hits, it's going to collapse, whether it's, you know, taxed at 100% or 40% or you know, whatever that number is, it depends upon the situation. There's no set number for anybody. Once it goes, it goes. It's a bubble.
Right. Well, and I think Japan is a perfect example of that, because in the end, the economy is all about how people perceive things, okay? So it's all about perception. You've heard me say before that perception is everything. Japan has been able to run as high as 500% debt to GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep right on clicking. The people don't perceive it as a problem, and so it's not one. But it absolutely is amazing, and they do return a vast amount of their production back into maintaining that production. And, you know, I honestly believe that the only thing that has kept Japan afloat is the United States of America.
Because of our trade?
Because of our trade. One of the things that, you know, the Japanese central bank has always been able to rely on is selling off U.S. bonds to bring some capital back into their market. You know, and they've always had a wonderful exchange rate. When you had if you were in Japan and you had a U.S. bond for $1 and you sold it, that brought 135, 150 yen into your system. But now we're seeing that, you know, right now the yen is, you know, if you had a dollar, that same $1 bond will now only get you 78 yen.
Yeah, it's dropped dramatically.
So the yen has gone up in value, in purchasing power, relative to the dollar.
Right.
And that means that their exports are more expensive. And so that's going to put them in a tighter crunch, and especially, you know, with the problems they've had after the tsunami and everything. But that's
those poor people.
Yeah, that's a bit of a different culture over there as well. The people have an absolute loyalty to the government that is just amazing.
I live there, so I know how they think. The average person, they save like crazy. I've never seen anything like it. They put so much, you know, whether it's under the mattress or in a bank or whatever, they save so much of their actual income. It's phenomenal. Now, in 1981, when I first went there, the rate was like one U.S. dollar was 274 yen.
Yep.
It was. I mean, we had a ball because, you know, our American bucks, you know, went quite a ways, and it was actually fun. They are a socialist country. Of course, I didn't realize that until I came home and started studying things.
Sure.
Breaking up or you? I probably don't get cell sites.
Yeah, I don't know. I see I've got my buddy Dean in the chat room as well, and wanted to let Dean know I tried to call in his show the other night. He was doing a great show, and his show was on Islam and how Islam has just invaded, you know, every aspect of our country. And one of the things that Dean had mentioned were the three pillars in Islam, and that struck a chord with me because there's a name for those three pillars, and I wanted him to check out a site, one that I had sent you guys previously, and I'm gonna see if I can find it again, but it was amazing. The three pillars are Boaz, Jechem, and the Tree of Life. Those are represented as the three pillars. And I find it interesting that we find three pillars of the European Union, we find the three pillars of Islam, we find the three pillars of Freemasonry, we find the three pillars of X, Y, and Z. All the occult. It all goes back to these three pillars, and there's also three pillars in Christianity. In Christianity, the three pillars represent fallen man, the fall, and the fall and Criminelli. My mind is so blank, all I can think of is painting. Hang on, I've got it actually saved in a document. I do this so that I don't end up
with CRS.
Yep. Well, I have CRS, but there's a lot in there, so now I just have to remember. I think it's under three pillars. Oh boy, and I hate dead air time. But
well,
I really, oh gosh, I had it at the tip of my tongue the other night, and unfortunately, Dean's show wouldn't let anyone call in, and that was a real stinker. Oh, come on, where's it at? There it is, Three Pillars. That's got it up. And, yeah, the Three Pillars of Islam, the Kabbalah, Freemasonry, the occult, Boaz is the Tree of Life, and Jachin. Boaz, the Tree of Life, and Jachin, J-A-C-H-I-N. They represent the creation, the fall of man, and the atonement. And I also found it interesting that in Islam, they all gather around the Kaaba, which is the black stone.
Right.
And in Judaism, when you were judged innocent, you were given a white stone. They wrote your name on a white stone, and that's something that's talked about in Scripture and in Revelation. Is you know, a white stone and writing your name upon it. Of course, the black stone is you were guilty. And I just found it interesting, the correlation between the two. And,
wow.
You know, the queen, you look at the coronation stone that the queen or the king sits upon when they're coronated. It all kind of ties together.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes from the same kind of ideology or mentality, and it all goes back to Scripture, quite honestly.
Wow.
So I just found it very amazing, but there is a, I know I sent you a link to that site. It's been some time ago, Linda, and it was some crazy stuff in Kazakhstan. Where they have the big pyramid and the three pillars.
Right.
They have the two golden pillars or brass pillars with the Tree of Life in the middle. And they had all the various people, the 17 religious leaders from around the world that had signed the little tablets around the globe to unite all religion.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm going to try and bring it up. I can't spell Kazakhstan, so to save my life. But I can get close, and Google will take care of the rest for me. But it's just one of those things that I wanted so bad. It was right on the tip of my mind when Dean was talking about it, his show. It really brought it out in my mind. Yeah. I was remembering all this stuff, and I said, man, I've got to get in there. And But I couldn't. And... just darn it, I hate it when that happens, but it's, he said it's spelled Krapistan.
Oh,
oh,
Lord.
Here it is. Here it is. Now we got the site up. I would have looked at my favorites, but there's no way in God in heaven that I would have found it this quickly. My favorites list is very long. But I think it's very interesting when we look at these sites and, you know, the similarities, and everyone says, you're just a conspiracy theorist. That could be. You know, I suppose that's probably right. But and maybe it's just the fact that the architecture is so intriguing that...
Right.
We want to continue to emulate that architecture around the world. That could be it. It could be just wholly innocent. But it seems like they institute this stuff at important meeting places. And
sure.
It's just odd to me. And if you scroll through that page and you see some of the things here, it can be a little bit daunting. There's your Tree of Life, and 2, 3, 4, 5. And, of course, they got the light poles going down, and I'm wondering if there's 12 on each side of the street there. just kind of bizarre. Something that everyone should take a look at. There's the picture of the two brass towers, and you see the Tree of Life off in the distance. And the Presidential Palace, which looks a whole lot like our Congress building.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, there's a lot. There's, like, when you, the aerial photograph of D.C., it's also pretty daunting. I mean,
That was just one Frenchman that laid out the design, so.
Well, I mean,
hey, Ron,
just,
when you're not around, why don't you teach the girls how to look at the switchboard?
I'm right here, brother.
Yeah, I know, but last week you weren't, and whoever was in charge of the switchboard did a lousy job.
That would be me.
No, you weren't there last week. You called in last week.
Okay.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It was two or three. So I just figured, let me let you guys know. If you want callers, you know, you got to take a look at the switchboard. Otherwise, you're not going to be bothered by me.
Yeah.
Because I will annoy you.
I constantly try and switch back and forth so that I don't leave somebody hanging on forever. Robert's been on for a while, but he's been very politely quiet. And I've had him.
Just because I don't have a gun.
Robert, you haven't got your little cap gun yet and your cowboy boot?
I'm going to come up to Indiana and surprise Bill on Halloween.
Oh, Lord. Robert, our resident token Jewish gentleman, and we were teasing him. He accosted one of Florida Power and Light's employees wearing nothing but a towel. And I told him the guy was
coming.
And
the tennis shoes.
And tennis shoes. Don't forget the tennis shoes, Ron.
He needs to wear the towel with a pair of cowboy boots and a gun holster with a cap gun and his yarmulke.
I will do that on the Day of Atonement on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, because if you wear the guns with that outfit, you will get shot.
Think so. Uncle Bill, don't be so harsh on me.
Yeah, you will. Anyway, what's the topic for tonight, Ron?
Man, I have no idea. To be honest, I'm just kind of flailing around. I was talking earlier about I saw the ECB is now going to buy bonds from the various EU countries. I find that kind of amazing.
Yeah, they're going to try to bail out Spain and Italy. And they've been printing up money like crazy. And
oh
the Fed. Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
I thought I heard thank God saying, what? You know, and the Federal Reserve is getting ready for a stimulus. And even though they've said, you know, the past few years that they wouldn't do another one beyond QE1 and QE2, but of course, that was a lie. Bernanke's is definitely determined to, you know, create hyperinflation, and the UCBs, they're right along lockstep with them. So the global collapse is coming, and then we, of course, the media is ratcheting up the fear level when it comes to the fiscal cliff. January 1st, the tax hikes are going to go into effect, and something else which I forget, and then, of course, Armageddon's supposed to start from there. All the dominoes are in place, so hope everybody's prepared, you know, with their cap guns.
Yep, and the cowboy boots.
Yep, and the cowboy boots.
Yeah, it's crazy. When I saw that the other day, and of course, you know, the stock market goes crazy, the dollar plummets, gold and silver go up, and it's like, really? You guys can't see through this? It's as transparent as tissue paper.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is, yeah, people don't feel the pain, though. That's the whole thing. They're not going to feel the pain until they rush to the supermarkets and they find out the shelves are empty. Then they'll feel the pain.
Exactly.
Empty? Hell, they don't have to be empty. I went to the store. You know, that's $15 for three rolls of damn masking tape?
Well.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to what they call superinflation. I don't know if I talked about this on your show before, but there's a thing called the rule of 72, in which if you want to find out the rate of inflation, how long it will take for an annual rate of inflation to double, you take that rate of inflation, let's say 10%, and you divide it into 72. So 72 divided by 10 is 7.2, which means it'll take 7.2 years for inflation to double at the rate, I mean for prices to double, rather, at the annual rate of 10%. So that's my calculation. I say in the last 10 years, it's, you know, prices have already doubled. Because you take a look at bread, you take a look at the masking tape, you take, I like to eat Chinese food, you take a look at the prices of Chinese food, take a look at the prices of rice, and what has happened? You go to the store, boom, everything has gone up double in the last 10 years. But since it's happening slowly, people say, that's just the way it is, you can't fight City Hall. You know, so until people actually feel the knife in their heart, they don't feel the bee stings.
Yeah, they're going to feel them, especially if, this currency game keeps going the way it is. And I just have to wonder, you know, when you see the ECB come out and make their announcement and then the Fed afterwards, it's almost like they're trying to stair-step the currency. You know, you see the euro drop, get real strong, and the dollar's dropping back. And now the dollar's starting to come back. Now that they know the Fed's going to do this QE. It's crazy. It's absolute insanity.
No, everything is converging at one time. Either the latter part of this year, which is only a few months left, or my prediction is by March of next year, things are going to be radically different. The economic collapse could either be full-blown, or we're going to see inflation about maybe 10% a month. Maybe Obama will come out with some sort of martial law for some sort of state that has been experiencing drought, and he'll declare that a national emergency, and that'll be the precursor for maybe the end of next year or the beginning of the 2014, where they'll start rounding up dissidents, you know, like they're doing now very slowly. They have to get the FEMA camps built first, or at least completed, and then they'll do that. And then who knows what happens after that. I don't know if we'll be sectioned off like they did in Russia, you know, or we'll just disappear economically. I don't know.
Well, it's going to be an interesting ride. I know that.
Yeah.
Keep praying.
Yeah. So, and people, you know, and people are playing the same old game. Well, let's get Obama out of there. Let's put in Romney. What's Romney going to do?
Not a damn thing. That's what I've been trying to tell people. That, you know, I use the analogy of a box, okay? Mm-hmm. And the current system operates inside that box. And Romney and Obama and John McCain and Sarah Palin and all these other people, all they can talk about is what they're going to do to fix what's inside the box.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that was talking about kicking the box to the curb and letting the trash men haul it off where it belongs to the dump was Ron Paul, and everybody said he was crazy.
Well, of course. The person who delivers the truth, he's the one that gets shot.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? And the hell of it is, all these other idiots they've all jumped in the box and they're wallowing around in it, and they don't even know it's a box.
Yeah.
They don't even know they're in it. They can't see the box.
Yep. Yeah. That's the power of brainwashing.
It's the power of intellectual laziness.
Yeah, that too.
Yep.
I mean,
agreed.
It doesn't take. You don't have to be a genius. You don't need a college degree to figure this stuff out. I mean, I'm no genius by any means. You know, the highest grade I completed in school was the eighth grade, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that might be an advantage, given the fact that the educational system is so intent about dumbing down people. You might have escaped all of that.
I have to admit, I did escape a lot of it. And, you know, I knew when I was a kid that it was garbage.
Mm. Well, I always had rumblings in my stomach about what was going on. But thank God for the internet. Otherwise, I'd still be scratching my head saying, you know, something just isn't right. I still feel like, what is it, Neo in The Matrix? Now, who's the guy that...
Neo.
No, the guy that... the other one.
Now, hang on a minute. Oh, God, if you hadn't asked me, I'd have it right on the top of my head. I've seen that movie 100 million times. All I can think of now is Nemo, but that was the...
That was Fort Fishburne. Who... I forgot the actor's name.
Neo.
Yeah, maybe
Neo. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, you always feel like Neo. You always feel something is not quite right. Just not quite right. How come we're spending billions of dollars overseas when we could be spending it here? And why are we sending fighter jets to one country and then sending fighter jets to the country that's their enemy? And
right.
You know,
I've asked that question. I was getting around to that with Richard last week when he called in.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he'd ever heard of the World Bank, and of course he had. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Blog Talk kicked us off. We'd burned 3 hours of time. What I wanted to ask him, have you ever been to their website? And mm-hmm. probably not. But if you go to their website, the World Bank, and you can see... Mm-hmm. all the projects that they're funding around the world. Now, they don't tell you what those projects are.
Mm-hmm.
But you can certainly see that they're funding 11 projects in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, World Bank, IMF, And who are the people running the World Bank and the IMF? Or if they're not running them now, they will be shortly? Geez, Goldman Sachs rings a bell.
Imagine that.
And Goldman Sachs. Yes. Follow the money and you find Goldman Sachs.
And you've got Bernanke and Geithner on the board at the IMF.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if the U.S. says no, if they vote no, then whatever the project is doesn't get funded.
Yeah, and Hillary, she's already said that she wants to be either the head of the IMF or the head of the World Bank, so bang, there you go. Ah, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I haven't seen the film Hunger Games, but has anybody seen it? Do you think it's going to be close?
I haven't seen that one.
No.
I have not. I have to admit, I don't watch a lot of movies. And I don't watch much television at all.
Yeah. Well, the theme of it is that in the future, most of the countries are very, very poor, and it's run by elite. And those that are surviving and still poor, in order to get fed, they have to entertain the elite. And there's Hunger Games. And it's like Spartacus in the 21st century. I mean, you know, but only thing is, there's no such thing as Spartacus. Just a bunch of people who are poor, and they have the games that they have to participate in order to feed their families. And I, you know, I'm kind of figuring, yeah, that kind of sounds like our future.
You know, I saw one a while back, and I can't remember if Time Cops or Time.
Oh yeah,
something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a really good movie, and what it was is everyone had a watch
mm-hmm.
that they were wearing, and when your time ran out, you were dead. You dropped dead instantly right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it really put things in perspective, and I wish it had been a more popular movie. And the elites, of course, man, they had thousands and thousands and thousands of years worth of time.
Mm-hmm.
The one banker and his daughter, this guy breaks out of the ghetto, so to speak,
mm.
and he pulls off a deal, and he's got a lot of time. And he's gambling at the casinos and winning more time. Mm. And then the girl's dad finds out he's really not one of them. And they take all his time from him.
Mm.
And so he's back to, like, you know, he's got 10 days to live. And the girl goes with him. It's a pretty interesting movie.
Is that Time? Because Time Cop was the one with Jean-Claude Van Damme. So is
right.
this the same movie?
No.
Okay.
This is a newer movie. It's probably only about 3 or 4 years old.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, for all practical purposes, you know, I'll tell you that Enemy of the State is here, because now some major cities are deploying the surveillance cameras in which they can take a look at you and check out your... probably your credit card and your utility bill and everything in real time. So that's here. And then, of course, drones are here. Oh, did you read about this? Now, this I don't know if it's true or not, but this is really science fiction, and this is supposed to have happened just a few days ago. Did you read about the drone that's invented that can be manipulated and piloted just through your thought waves? You don't. It's a hands-off interface.
Wow.
Yep.
I have not seen that.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that one.
Yep, it's on Alex Jones' site, and they have the video also on YouTube. And it's kind of interesting, but it seems like it's rather too sophisticated for me to believe, because all you have to do is just, it's you can practically buy it off the shelf. You can take these probes, like, and put it on your head, and use a Bluetooth, and with your brain waves, you can manipulate this drone, and you can do it as though it's like a family pet. You can make it go up and down, back and forth. It's incredible.
I could see that, and it's probably something you'd have to practice at. I could see that being very plausible, and the name of that movie is In Time.
In Time, okay.
Yeah, came out in 2011. It's a pretty cool movie, great concept,
mm-hmm.
and it really struck me, because that's something that I've preached on my radio show before, is that, you know, money is just a representation of time,
mm-hmm.
and in the end, we're all spending time, whether mm-hmm. we want to or not. We have no choice,
mm-hmm.
and sooner or later, we run out of time.
Right.
Mm.
Ron, am I in?
You are in, Mr. Robert. You dropped out, but you snuck back in on us.
I tell you, it's frightening.
It could be, if you allow it to frighten you. It could be frightening. I can see how that would scare people.
I said this before in the show, you know, once you go out, each day you go out, you know, you could have spent $100 each, no matter where, but each day when you go shopping, you know, you could have spent $100. I mean, I don't know if you heard me last night on Michael Magic's show, but I said, my ledger is becoming a three-figure ledger now. Every time I'm serious, Ron.
Now, a little off topic, and I'm going to put it in the chat room. But there is a new Obama 2012 campaign sticker that says, once you vote black, you can never go back.
Oh, man, yeah, I can't believe it.
I doubt if he has that, but I'm sure other people do.
They should have. I mean, they should have.
Wow. Yeah, that's funny. That goes back to the old joke. That's funny. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's going to be the worst thing that's going to happen if he gets real. Well, not the worst thing. If Romney comes in, what's the difference? I mean, he's making a lot of nice campaign promises, but it's the same old shit. It's going to be, I'm going to do change. And Obama, instead of doing hope and change now, he's saying, well, just give me more time, and I'll fix everything. Don't worry about it.
I'd love to give him, like, 30 to life.
About 30 years. Yeah.
along with the majority of Congress, but you know.
You got it.
Well, you're
more merciful. Big enough for them.
Yeah. No, you're more merciful than I am. I've said I wanted to kill them, but I wanted to do it legally, and I've told people, and I have to actually put out this disclaimer, because otherwise the FBI might track me down to where I am. But I'm going to say it like this: I want to do it legally. I want them dead. I want them investigated by the FBI. I want them indicted. I want them to go to trial for treason. I want them found for treason, and the penalty for treason is death. And I want to be the one to put the injection or flip the switch on each one of these bastards.
I agree.
I tend to like Patrick's idea better, and we haven't seen our buddy Patrick around in a while, but he just wants to put them all on pikes out in the lawn of the White House.
Yeah. But you got to be careful.
Gerard.
Go
ahead.
Do you know what hope really stands for? Hope promises everything.
Yep.
That's what I saw on a bumper sticker today. that put things in perspective, so to speak, well, on my way to the post office today.
There you go.
What did Patrick used to say? Shoot them all and let God sort them out.
Let God sort them out, yeah. But you know what? You can't say that. Don't put that on Facebook. Don't put that on a blog, because the FBI will think of that as a threat.
Oh, the Stasi will be knocking on your door for sure.
Did you hear about the BTR host that got hauled away?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
What happened?
You want to talk about it, Ron?
The Blog Talk guy does a show just like we do here on Patriot Families. And, he said something about, I'd like to kill them all or something to that effect. And they came knocking on his door and hauled his butt off. He was on Alex's show last week.
Oh, wow. Maybe that's just trying to break into my house.
Well, Robert, if you decide to get a weapon, then you must take classes and have some very good people teach you all about the weaponry that you choose.
This is the thing that I'm worried about, Linda and Ron. This is true. I mean, before I knew my true diagnosis of what I really have, I was always having dyslexia. I was always a clumsy, with my hands, and it bothers me, that I know when I'm occupied, when my mind is occupied, nothing happens. It's just when I'm like, things go wacko. So I know not to use a gun when I'm occupied, right? I mean, you basically have to control yourself when you're using the gun.
Yeah, right? You do.
So that's the only thing I'm worried about. Whether if I'm going to get nervous, I know the only time.
Well,
I
just get a 38 special, a snub nose 38, because you couldn't hit what you were aiming at with one of those damn things anyway. So you got a pretty good chance. Either that, or get a damn shotgun.
There you go.
The last time I shot a rifle, I was in camp. That was like, that's when I was a little boy. That was like when I was in third or fourth grade. I shot pretty good back then. And so, of course, it was under instruction, like you said. But I do need somebody to learn it. Have to go up to, once I get it, I have to go up to Atlanta and run, and I can get some cans and shoot at them.
Well, on the subject of folks getting hauled off, how many people remember the story about the Hootery militia up in Michigan?
I think about it.
Remember, they said the FBI swooped in there. They came in with the black helicopters and the whole nine yards and raided them.
Yeah.
And took all those guys to jail. Did you know they were all acquitted?
Yeah. They were the ones I'm thinking of, yeah.
Amazing, man.
thank God they had a judge with two brain cells, and she threw out the government's case and said it was so thin it was ridiculous, and that she didn't think these guys posed a threat to anybody. Basically, it was a bunch of guys that sat around drinking beer and talking about what kind of guns they'd like to have, and, you know, they send in, and this is the modus operandi. They send in an FBI informant, someone who's gotten in trouble with the law and is going to work out a deal, so the government uses them as an FBI informant. And the guy goes in and he starts encouraging these guys to, you know, hey, man, we could get a bunch of guns to shoot the cops and to shoot, you know, government agents. And they're like, yeah, you know, because those guys, and pretty soon... you have a case, and that same thing happened here in Georgia, and they picked on a bunch of old men.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Three old guys, they were in their 70s.
Mm.
And of course, they were trying to get the stuff to make ricin, and, I mean, it's just insane.
Well, you know why they were doing that. You know, the government right now, I saw on the news today, has owned packaged brew to get people to make their own beer. I swear to God, I saw that on the news today, and I go, well, there we go again. another government schmooze to stop people from buying alcohol.
Well, you know, they don't have any damn dragons to slay out there. So
yep.
They have to create them, and they're trying to create this ideology of homegrown terrorism. That's exactly what I was telling Richard when he called my show Monday night last week, and he did not see the hypocrisy in wanting to disarm Iran.
Mm.
He doesn't believe he's a hypocrite. Well, they want to get nuclear weapons. Well, we've got nuclear weapons. Israel has nuclear weapons. India has them. Pakistan's got them. Why in God's name wouldn't they want them? I would want them if I were in their neighborhood.
Well, especially if you're surrounded by the Air Force, the United States Air Force and Marines and bases that the other countries are allowing us to have in there on their soil. Sure.
Exactly. And I told him, I said, that's hypocrisy, and he doesn't see it that way. And I said, well, you know what? You know, one of the things my buddy Dean was talking about is the number of Muslims that live in this country now, both legally and illegally. And, you know, mark my words, one of the arguments that may be had in the future, and only the shadow knows if that'll happen or not, but I could foresee a time when there'll be civil unrest and there'll be a lot of angry, pissed off Muslims in this country. And the government's going to come out, you know, Mitt Romney's going to come out and say, look, guys, I know you've got a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, and we want to respect that. But there is a contingent of people in this country that mean to kill you. And we can't stop them unless we can first disarm them. And the only way we can do that, right, I mean, I can see it, the argument being made, that we're going to have to temporarily suspend the Second Amendment so that these people will be in violation of the law and we can arrest them.
Yeah, well, I can see... Well, I haven't thought of it that way, but I can see it happening, too, because people are such...
People are dumb enough to fall for it.
Yeah, you know, they'll just go along because they don't know any better. They either trust the government or they don't know
God.
How to fight City Hall. So whichever side of the fence that a person's on, it's still deleterious to America. It's still... injurious to their health, but if they, what the fuck?
And I don't get it, man. I really don't get it. How people can understand, recognize, and accept that the government has just been lying to them. But except for this one thing, well, I believe him on that. You know, that's what he was telling me. He said, oh, they've found Iranian weapons, you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan being used on our troops. I said, who's found them? Who told you that? Oh, they had Iranian markings on them. And who put the markings on there? I mean, for God's sakes, let's use our brain for two seconds here.
God, unbelievable.
And maybe it is true.
But, you know,
it could be perfectly true. That still doesn't mean, you know.
Right. The problem is these people, they believe everything that they see on that idiot box in their living room or what they see in the papers or, you know, even AM radio. They don't do their own homework, and they're inside that box you described, and they can't see the box.
No, you're right. They don't know they're inside the box.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And that's the majority of the people who are, they're way too trusting. And at this juncture, I don't think we can be anymore. I mean, I don't trust any of those clowns in D.C. as far as I could throw Michelle Obama.
Yeah. Can you imagine her being obese? Good, I hope so.
I thought she already was.
Now, Robert, that's no way to talk about the First Lady.
Now, let me
Well, you know, if the government could give us a packaged beer already brewed, that we could make our own beer. There's a law saying that we can grow marijuana in our backyard.
You can make your own beer. Well, they used to anyway in California, just for your own consumption.
Well,
look, that's how a lot of these microbrews got started, and I still agree with Benjamin Franklin. Beer is proof that God loves us.
I can attest to Ron Bolden drinking micro beer. I watched him personally do it.
Yeah, I don't drink any of the Beechwood aged rice flavored garbage put out by the big guys, you know.
Well,
I'm a beer snob.
You are. Very much so. And a cigar snob, too.
Yeah, I like a good cigar now and again. Nothing wrong with that.
So, Ron, did you ever find Hollis Buchanan?
Hollis is fine. He's just been very busy with family and everything. Miss Yola talked to him, so everything's good there.
Okay, who are we talking to? I don't know if I know this guy, or do I know this guy?
Oh, that would be our other caller.
Oh, yeah, but what's his name?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know you.
I don't know you either. Who are you?
I am Robert. Who are you?
I'm CIA.
You're the CIA. It's such an honor meeting you, sir.
Well, same goes to you.
You didn't tell me your real name, though, besides the CIA.
Oh, what's my name? Oh, yeah, Barack Hussein.
That is Ron Golden, you.
Barack Hussein Romney.
Yeah. No, that's our next president.
My name's Joe. Robert.
Yeah, you think Romney's going to be in there?
Well,
I don't know.
Can you count? Can you spell idiot?
No.
See.
Because
you know what,
I felt like my first voting age, I was 18 when I first voted, and I voted for Ronald Reagan, Jimmy. You know, I couldn't vote for Jimmy Carter. I just couldn't vote for the guy. So Ronald Reagan was my president when I was 18. So you know, the only time I voted Democrat, believe it or not, I told this to Ron. He couldn't believe, you know, I almost got sick on the radio show when I told him this. But I voted for Gore and Lieberman because, of course, I'm Jewish. I thought that would be the right thing.
Lieberman, I knew it. I knew that was his motivation.
You voted for Lieberman?
But you know, that was the first time I ever voted Democrat in my whole lifetime.
Joe, I almost cut him off the show entirely when he told me that.
I don't blame you. Holy fuck. I'm telling you, that's not dyslexia. That's something else.
Well, I understand. That was his plain stupidity, but on my part. But he doesn't mean, after I saw what was going on, you know, after but the first George Bush Jr. getting in instead of Al Gore, and then I started seeing all his policies going through. I mean, during those 8 years, even before 9/11, I thought, you know, before I got a radio show, I said, either I am a conservative bastard, excuse me, but either I'm really, really conservative for my own good, or I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't decide. I felt like Ron. I couldn't decide where I stood.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know where I stood on the issues. Let me tell you something.
For your wavering on the issues, that's better than somebody who is absolutely sure about where they're going to vote. Because those kind of people who are absolutely sure, their mind is set in concrete, and their minds can't be changed. When you waver, you are ready for facts. So it's better than that. Yeah.
I understand that. Go ahead, Linda.
Ron's taking a little break. He probably had to go to the John or take care of something. But, you know, the problem with all of us, and I was guilty of it for many years, but I woke up probably 6 years ago knowing and feeling something was wrong. And I have educated myself to the best of my ability, daily, weekly, hourly. I mean, just the amount of books that I've read in the last even 4 years is just astounding. And, you know, this is what you need to do, folks. People have to find the truth, find out what's going on behind the scenes, find out who these people are, why they're doing what they're doing. And I think Ron's correct about the monetary system. Until we get rid of the central bank authority, nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm. And you're bringing up some good points, Linda, but the problem is that people don't have the time to do the research. I set aside a number of hours each and every day because I became awakened myself back in late 2005, early 2006. And
that's
good to go, too. And I, every day, except for the weekends, I do research because every day something is coming out in the news. The thing is,
sure,
there is so much to absorb that people generally can't do it on their own. So you know what I would recommend, but I can't recommend, is if Alex Jones, who is, to me, I think he's a kook, but I think he's a kook who is right on. I think he knows what he's talking about. The problem with him...
I do, too.
Yeah. The problem with him is that he has a lot of information on the site, but it's like a textbook. You know, it's all segmented.
Yeah.
It's all spread around.
Yeah.
If he had, like, a central library of the documents that he always talks about...
Sure.
Then people could go to his site... They would find that they would cut down on their research by man hours, man weeks, man years.
Right.
But he doesn't have it.
So what I've done is I started with a 5,000 year leap and went to Liberty and Tyranny and the real George Washington, Patriot's History of the United States, Robert Gallatly's book, Lenin, Stalin, and Hitler, The Age of Social Catastrophe. I've got Bonhoeffer waiting on the shelf. I'm reading Road to Serfdom right now. I have studied von Mises. I go to the Ayn Rand Center.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to understand I have read so many books, I can't even name them for you. But what's happening is it's helping me to not only see the truth, but to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you know history and you see how it's repeating and that there are two ideologies, there's, you know, the iron-fisted rule of Stalin or Mao, and then there's Thomas Jefferson freedom.
Mm.
I don't see it any other way, because we're human.
Mm.
You either have freedom or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense, because in the history of the world, ever since man crawled out of the cave, okay?
Right.
Or he crawled out of the primordial ooze, what has been happening? Historically, from day one, what is it that we do? We conquer, we dominate, we kill, we try to take over and invade other countries.
Right.
That is what we do. This is why I say, if we ever in the future learn how to truly make efficient space travel, I pity the inhabitants of planets that we go to visit. Because I'm serious. Because just like Christopher Columbus, he started, you know, people don't know this, this wasn't in our textbooks, but Christopher Columbus, within a week after he found America, he enslaved, he tried to enslave the Indians, he brought some of them back home
right.
to Queen Isabella or Queen whatever.
Yeah, Queen Isabella of Spain, yep.
Queen Isabella. And this is exactly what we would do. It doesn't matter if it would be the United States of America, Russia, China,
yep.
or any other country, you know. Whatever planet they land on, if that planet does not have superior weaponry, that planet will be, quote
Toast.
Unquote, colonized. But they will be taken over. They will be either eliminated or they'll be the 22nd century of Iraq and Afghanistan, et cetera.
Sure.
Why do you think that is, Joe? Why do you think we do that?
DNA. It's in our
DNA. I
don't
know.
You think it's really just that simple?
Yeah. We eat, we breathe, we drink, DNA. We conquer, DNA. It's not just environment.
No, I agree it's not just environment, and I agree it is our DNA that I think it's, you know, we want to possess what someone else has.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We want it.
We are born very, very selfish. If we don't curb that selfishness in us, then we become very, very greedy. Greedy people are ambitious people. They seek power positions. The positions of power then go out and want to conquer more. But even in our own daily lives, women want to conquer men in their marriages. Men want to conquer women. Siblings, sibling rivalry. You have
yep.
teachers who try to lord it over students. You have students who rebel against teachers. You have crime in the streets. You have greed, avarice, arson, larceny. That is the way of man. We are not a peace. Well, we kind of like peace, but we really love war.
Well, we like the comfort of being able to kick back and enjoy the spoils of war,
mm-hmm.
all of our conquests, but we get bored with it pretty quick, especially when we see a shiny new toy that we don't have and someone else has, and it's like, oh, man, I got to get one of those.
Yeah, but how do you do it? Do you negotiate, or do you try to conquer?
No. You go in, the snot out of them.
Yeah.
Take their stuff and go home.
Exactly.
Well,
I mean,
we don't go home. We occupy right. their area.
Yeah. Take a look at the behavior of kids. What do they want to do? They want to beat each other up.
Well, I have to
That's
confess
true.
That, you know, I taught my son that. We got it years, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He had a tricycle, and the neighbor kid pushed him off of it and took it and was riding it around. He come home crying.
Mm-hmm.
They said, what are you crying for? You're bigger than he is. Go smack him in the mouth and take it back.
Oh, wow.
And he did exactly that. And I said, you got your bike back, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that's
so,
a little,
I mean, you know.
Yeah, but that's a little different than, you know, the kids who are one-year-olds, two-year-olds who, they, you know, they alternate between trying to bully one another and trying to be nice to one another. It's in our DNA.
Sure.
Just because we don't shoot everybody all the time doesn't mean it's not in our DNA. What is it that you see all around you? You see corrupt cops. You see corrupt politicians.
Right.
You see domestic abuse. What do you see? You see people who are trying to hurt other people.
But then you also have something else. There's a component called free will, and we do make choices. So can we not just make the choice to not kill one another? Can we make the choice to try to be nice to somebody?
Sure,
you know,
we do,
I mean,
every day.
Yeah, we make
yeah.
the choices, but our
right.
the easiest thing to trigger is the impulse to go ahead and hurt.
Kill somebody.
And
yeah.
kill and conquer. What you can make a friend in, it takes like 2 years to make a real friend. It takes 2 seconds to break up that friendship.
Right.
Right.
I can attest that I'm one of those that it takes less than that to piss me off to the point, you know. And I've had to work. I'm dead serious, and I have had to work. I have worked very hard at not letting my anger, my temper, rule my life. I have a vicious temper.
See, that's part of the DNA. Not to say that it doesn't interact with the environment, and the environment shapes the DNA to a certain degree, but the DNA shapes our environment, which then, again, interacts. It's a cycle. So the thing is that my theory, DNA. If somebody can come up with a better theory, hey, I'm all for it. But I'll tell you one thing. why they're doing that. If we ever go to Mars and find Martians on the other side of Mars, they're dead meat.
Funny.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with Joe on that.
It's funny, but, you know, I do the same thing, Ron, that you do, because I'm not only learned from you, but from others, you know, like the Milton Friedmans or the Ayn Rands, et cetera, how to frame an argument without absolutely going ballistic. And it's not easy to do.
It is
but
not.
If you let your intellect rule you instead of that gut feeling, like you do want to just, you know, throttle them because they're so stupid, it's much better to win them over with sound principles and common sense and spoon feed them. You know, it works wonders, and that's what I'm going to do with this new guy. In fact, on my show, I'll talk about what my four questions would be the next time I talk to him. In fact, I'm going to try to invite him into the show and see if he'll come to the chat room, you know, because I have a feeling, because I think he's smart enough to get what we're doing, you know, what we're about.
Well, most people are. Like I said, you don't have to be a genius. You don't need a 160 IQ, and in fact, I would argue that a 160 IQ would be a hindrance to you to face and embrace reality. I know too many people with 160 IQ, and they're absolutely convinced of their correctness on every single possible aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I try to do is not only do I always constantly evaluate other people, as we all do, but I have realized that one of the things I need to do is evaluate myself on a daily basis, an hourly basis.
Right.
And I catch a lot of heat for my language at times.
Mm-hmm.
I can really let the expletives fly. And especially if I'm aggravated or irritated with something. Now, there are those situations in life, I believe, that require the use of an expletive. There's no other word that absolutely describes the level of my disgust at that moment any better than some of the expletives. But, you know, I went back, Michael called me, you know, everyone was so enamored with Monday's show, and I thought, I'm going to go back and listen to the show and see if I agree. And you know, one of the things that jumped out at me was that I felt the show moved pretty slowly, but also I dropped the F-bomb one time, and that really, as a listener, that turned me off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ron, I was on the show, but I don't recall you doing the F-bomb.
Yeah, it was, Robert, it may have been by the time we got into the archives, but it was a question I had asked Richard dealing with Iran, and I talked about our installing the Shah back in 1953 and overthrowing Mossadegh. And I said, why do you think they took hostages? Why do you think they hate us? Because we were effing mm-hmm. with their politics and their people and their lives. And that's true. We were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just got to know how to... We all have to curtail our cussing while we're on the radio. It's hard to do at times, but you know we slip up now and then, and we can't help that.
Right, but I mean, in hindsight, what I'm saying is that in hindsight, going back and listening to myself on that program, it was not the best use of words. It would have been better to say something like, because we were interfering with their freedom, their lives, and their daily routine.
I've heard you say worse than that, though, too.
Certainly. I'm just saying that.
I mean, you use the C word, you know, now and then, but
no.
That's your favorite word, but, you know.
Well, there are times, I have to say, there are those women out there that.
No, I was referring to that word, and you know which word I was referring to.
Oh.
You know, parts spelled backwards.
Parts spelled backwards?
P-A-R-K, spelled backwards.
Oh, Fox. Oh, okay.
Crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that
word is that?
Crap?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's, yeah, to me, that doesn't even rise to the level of an expletive.
No.
Well, you know, but...
Now, the
know,
other C word, I believe, does.
Yeah.
No, you never use another C word.
When I hear that C word, the picture in my mind is Wasserman Schultz. I'm sorry.
What did you think about her new makeover when you saw her? I mean, wow, did you go, wow, that looks like a different person?
Who's that?
Schultz.
I have not seen her, sir. When I tell you that I don't watch much television, I'm dead serious. I don't watch much television at all.
So you don't watch the conventions at all? You didn't even look at them?
Nope.
Oh,
really?
I couldn't stand it.
No,
what?
I didn't do it either. I don't have the TV.
Why would I turn that garbage on?
No.
I don't have the stomach for any of them.
No, I don't want to see all this baloney.
And I don't want to hear it either.
No.
If I turn on the television, I'm either going to watch, you know, something on the Food Network. Fietti just cracks me up. I might watch something on the History Channel, although there's not much history on there anymore. It's all these damn reality shows.
Yeah, I watch So You Think You Can Dance and, you know, Dancing with the Stars and Criminal Minds, Lifetime. That's about it. And sometimes Fix News until I have to turn it off within 5 minutes because I can't stand either one Williams or some of the pundits that are considered talk show hosts.
Yeah.
They call themselves journalists.
I can't
journalists.
Even watch the
oh
news. I cannot
God.
Even watch the
I can't.
News. You're kidding
I can't. It's horrid. It's a train wreck.
It is.
And too frustrated. Like,
it takes like 30 seconds for me to be ready to throw something at the television when Fox or CNN or one of those is on.
Yeah.
And
I
just can't stand it. And C-SPAN, forget about it.
Yeah, that's
when
pretty
they, when
bad,
they
too.
Do the, when they do those little interviews and they have people call in, my God, these people actually vote. It's
yeah.
It's no wonder we're so screwed. I mean,
yeah, we are.
Wow, these guys must have just sat around eating damn paint chips when they were children. I mean.
Lots of it. I agree. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, with this cereal,
whoa.
Like cornflakes and paint chips.
Yeah, yeah
there
I'm telling you.
GMO cornflakes.
Yeah, can
they're
you imagine? Bad. Yeah.
They're nuts.
It's got to be, you know, luckily I don't have a TV, you know, so
good
I don't watch
you.
Any of it, but I like to listen to Meet the Press and Face the Nation, so I listen to it on the radio, and then they have these panels, and it's like I want to smack all of them because they're all biased. They all have their own propaganda. They all have their own agenda, and I keep asking myself, do these people have any integrity whatsoever, or are they just blissfully stupid?
Well, yeah, they all have their heads well south of their shoulders.
Oh, God. they are soldered inside their intestinal lack of fortitude, right up their ass. And they can't get it out.
You know, I'm
Language.
Telling you, the only one that I can even stomach anymore, and I don't say stomach because I think the guy is brilliant and he's got a fabulous show, and that's Mike Church.
Oh, I don't even know who he is.
Oh, my goodness. If you want to listen to an honest critique of everything that's going on in the news, you got to get Sirius Satellite Radio and listen to Mike Church. He's on the Patriot Channel 125. I'm in Georgia, so we're Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
He comes on at 6 a.m., and he's on until 9.
Is that every day? Or
every day.
Every day, yeah.
And, you know, you can sign up online,
uh-huh.
And you'll get a free one-week trial.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You'll be hooked because the guy's brilliant.
Oh.
He did a remake. He recreated the Constitutional Convention.
Mm-hmm.
He hired a group of actors, and they used the minutes of the convention, the
mm-hmm.
actual, you know, the actual writing, no bullshit, all
right.
crap aside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's a three DVD set. I was hooked. My wife and I were coming home from dinner one Sunday, and it was on the radio, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, what is this? And I sat in the driveway for 3 hours.
Wow.
Listening. I was floored. Amazing. And I'm telling you, you know, you can read about it. You can read about the Constitutional Convention and all the different people and everything. But when you hear it actually take place in real time,
mm-hmm.
and the actors playing out the parts, it gives it a whole, I mean, it's amazing.
It must have been. Especially if they were good actors, they probably just made you feel like you just transported yourself back to the 1700s. Yeah.
And then, you know, as a narration, he has his daughters will ask questions at the opportune moments. And it's phenomenal. He just released a new one, What Lincoln Killed, Episode 1, Compacts Dissolved.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
What's that about?
It's all about Abraham Lincoln and how he destroyed the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
How he declared war on America, the United States, very union that he claimed he was trying to save.
Mm-hmm.
That was horse crap.
And he used
executive power to do so, an executive power that no one to that point
mm-hmm.
ever claimed existed.
Right, and he used something similar to the Sedition Act in order to put away the editors who had difference of opinions with him, yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah.
He actually, which I thought in a twist of irony, he actually imprisoned the grandson of Francis Scott Key at Fort McHenry for 2.5 years for writing an unflattering article about him.
Yeah,
lovely.
Well.
And we
been
think
going
military
on for a long time.
Some newfangled thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. When you take a look at the history of the United States, it's, you know, not what we were taught, unfortunately.
Oh,
not
no.
Not been close.
No.
I think you have to look at our history
mm-hmm.
from a monetary standpoint.
Well,
because everything revolves around the money.
Well, that's true, yeah.
And if you go back and you look at the various tariff acts, you see the Sherman Act, you see
mm-hmm.
when they tried to, when they did monetize silver, and what I mean by monetizing silver, Congress was borrowing money to buy silver to mint coins.
Mm-hmm.
What's debasing your, that's debasing your currency.
They put themselves in a lot of debt to do it.
Right. Well, okay, if you've got, we'll start small. If you've got 10,000 ounces of silver in circulation, okay,
mm-hmm.
and the Congress goes out and borrows money, paper, right,
mm-hmm.
to purchase 10,000 ounces more silver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they buy that silver at face value, what it's circulating at in the economy right now.
Mm-hmm.
They buy it at face value plus 5% interest.
Mm-hmm.
And they coin 10,000 new coins. Now, all those 10,000 coins coming in have 5% interest owed against them.
Mm-hmm.
So you debase the total volume, 20,000 coins, by 2.5% of their value. Because there's interest owed on all the money in circulation at this point.
Right.
Now, of course, they did it on a much grander scale than that. I think they bought 2 million ounces.
Mm-hmm.
That
to me, debasing your currency means that the purchasing power has decreased. So, whatever else is done, I didn't know about that. It's good to hear. But to me, if I have a dollar and I can buy a dollar's worth and a dollar doesn't go up for years, to me, the currency is still the same. But,
sure.
You know.
But when that occurs, the
mm-hmm.
debasement doesn't necessarily happen. Well, I mean, it happens instantly, but it's not recognizable instantly. Those people that have the money first get full use of it. As it trickles down the line, it becomes more relevant because it creates price increases. Market-wide, And it done on a large enough scale, I mean, that's what we see the Federal Reserve Bank doing right now.
Well,
they're
they're
not creating money in paper form. They're creating it electronically. The form doesn't matter. If they were minting silver coins, it would still be the same thing.
Without, you know, but again, any type of currency is debased if the prices of that particular nation's commodities go up as a result. So even though the Federal Reserve has been caught doing $16 trillion worth of secret transactions with other governments and putting out QE1 and QE2, and yet even though we're having 10% inflation a year, it hasn't gone up the way that people thought it would, and one of the reasons is because of the imports that we buy cheap shit from China instead of you know, being consumers and buying the more expensive stuff here in America, and thereby making the prices go up. So,
it's one of the problems, Joe, as I know you're fully aware, is when you have more dollars chasing the same amount of goods.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, as you're describing, those dollars are chasing goods overseas. So we're not necessarily seeing the impact here. I've said that a million times.
That's true, yeah.
If our ability to buy cheap products from China, Japan, India, Indonesia, if that dried up tomorrow, people would really understand the term inflation.
Yeah.
Yep.
With a whole new appreciation. They absolutely would.
Right.
The fact that we can send our debts off overseas and not suffer the consequences has been what has allowed this problem to grow to the point that it is.
Well, that's what I was talking about before, feeling the pain. The debt and the trade deficit, somewhat related but somewhat different. Because when the Chinese and the Japanese are now... Federal Reserve, I think, has more of the debt than China. That's buying up the treasuries. When you have the trade deficit, to me, I had this discussion with other people. To me, I don't understand why the trade deficit is that big of a deal. If you have a $15 trillion economy and if you have a $400 billion trade deficit, that's like 1% of, $400 billion. So it would be...
It's chump change. Chump change by comparison.
Yeah.
And when you look at our economy, you know, only 30% of our economy is external.
And you're absolutely right. Let's say, for example, Indonesia, Malaysia, China, Korea, Japan, they wanted to embargo the United States, right? Like we've embargoed Iran and Iraq. And we weren't going to be able to buy all the cheap stuff that we're used to, and now we have to buy the stuff here in America. Those prices would jump up in a second.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
And that's when people would realize, oh my God, that. Ooh.
But you know what else would happen? It would create jobs. Oh.
Hopefully, that's
one of the things. Yeah. Mittens Romney is talking about.
Oh, I want to see him fulfill that promise. 12 million jobs in four years. I want to see that.
Oh, he's standing up there yapping about taking a hard line against China, and I want to see that. That's what I want to see happen.
Oh, God.
I don't believe he has the political cojones to even attempt it.
I happen to agree with you, because if he tried, all of a sudden he'll be getting warnings from the ambassador from Beijing saying, you know, you're upticking us off. We think we're going to put ICBM up your ass. So
yeah.
I think
he'd get that phone call. Oh, you remember John Kennedy?
Yeah.
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 He pissed us off too.
Yeah. We have connections with Chinese restaurants over there where you live. Don't you mess with us. So I like to see that political communities myself. I don't think he's gonna do it. He's gonna then after if he gets elected after 2 years, then he'll say, well, you know, the job isn't quite like I thought, and he'd be preaching the same crap Obama's doing now.
And you know why? And you know what? We're hitting on a really good point here, and it only took, damn near 2 hours to get to it.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, this is why I've said before, I don't give a damn who you elect to office. Nobody's going to fix it. It cannot be fixed.
Well, not with these, not with these people, not with these mindsets. It'll take libertarians. It'll take constitutionalists to finally do it. And the price to America, okay?
It's going to be high.
Yeah, it will be. But at least it'll be short-lived.
It will be painful.
Yeah.
And the people are not willing to accept that pain.
True.
That's the thing. They want their Walmart. They want their flat screen TVs. They want their, chicken in a box. And that's it,
And by the time they do finally become quote-unquote awakened, it'll be the Hunger Games here in America.
Yeah, this is a totally different generation than the generation that of generations past that would roll up their sleeves and get it done.
Right.
Yeah, you're right, because we don't have the rugged individualism that we used to have.
There's very few. I think I'm one of the waning few. My son fits that mold, but only because that's how I taught him.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
But if you need something, if something's got to be done, then get it done.
Yeah.
Right.
Just do it. Don't cry and whine about it.
And if you want it done right, do it yourself.
Do it yourself. Yeah,
get off your butt and do it.
Yeah. Oh God. I'm getting depressed. Look, I'm going because of this show. I'm not blaming anybody, but you people have depressed me. Like I hope I've depressed you. So I'm going to get off now. I'll let you guys.
You
get back to the show.
You're not depressed.
Thank you,
Joe.
All
right, take it easy, guys.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling in, Joe. Always good to hear from our buddy Joe. I always enjoy it when he calls in. He's got such a very pragmatic approach to things and very monotone. Doesn't get overly excited about much, but always a good call.
Absolutely. I'm going to let you wind it up, and thank you so much. This has been really, really cool, and I know you're tired. You probably want to wind it up anyway. Robert, good to talk to you. And God bless both of you, and I'll check you out in the chat room.
I'm thinking I need to get my hot tub filled up and get it cranked up. I'm ready for the hot tub.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Linda. You have a great night.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Well, guys, that kind of carries us out. We got about 12 minutes left. I want to remind anybody that's remaining listening, I know this was a boring show, and I apologize for that. It only took us 2 hours to get to a couple of really good points. I apologize, but nonetheless, I won't make any more excuses. I want to remind everybody, tune in tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here for the Constitution Hour. Then on Tuesday night at 7, we'll have Mr. Bill Strong with Patriot Families Chat. On Wednesday night at 7, the lovely Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday, we'll, of course, have Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. And if you've not tuned in and listened to Miss Terry's show, I got to tell you, you don't know what you're missing. Terry is fabulous. She's a great storyteller, very, very knowledgeable lady, very well read. Then on Friday, we've kind of got an open slot on Fridays. We've been going over to listen to Mike on the Hot Seat Left is Never Right. His show is on at 9. Then on Saturday, we'll be back here again for Mr. Michael Magic with Exposing the Illusion. And then, of course, Sunday back here at 7 for Fed Up Frank. And all of these shows are possible because of Patriot Families. If you're not a member, I'd encourage you to stop by, sign up. Doesn't cost anything. You do have to give a little bit of information, and I know in this day and age that a lot of people don't like giving out that information. We understand, but it is something that we have to do. That's patriotfamilieswithays.com. Just stop by and see what we're all about. There's some great blogs there, a lot of good folks, a lot of interesting stuff on the site. And, guys, I think I'm going to take you out with a song, and, you know, I just can't get enough of this song because it really, it just lays out exactly how I feel as we look around this country and we watch the arguments going on between left and right, Democrat, Republican, you know, who's going to fix what, how the government's going to create more jobs. And I just feel like we're trapped. And I don't know which way the bow is going to break, but when it does, you know, hopefully we will emerge on the side of constitutional government, getting back to our founding principles, the ideas that are enshrined in our Declaration of Independence. They've been spoken. They're on everyone's heart and mind, but they've never quite been fulfilled in this country or in any other. And if I'm going to pray for something, I'm going to pray for the fulfillment of that promise, that pledge that's in our declaration. But until then, I remain right here with you, stuck in the middle.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in.